You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series today. We're heading to Tennessee. I'm excited to head to Tennessee. We don't get to hang out in Tennessee very much. So
that's true.
I'm excited to do that. I mean, we're kind of doing it virtually, but...
Yeah, I mean, we're still in St. Louis.
Yes.
It still counts.
It still counts. That's right.
Yeah. Dolly says hello.
Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Erin Rogers. She's a teacher at First Lutheran Church and School in Knoxville, Tennessee. Erin, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Hi, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us from Tennessee today. And we're excited to learn about how the Lord brought you into this vocation of teaching as a Lutheran teacher. And who shaped that path? Who influenced your decision to even pursue this? Let's talk about, let's start off with your experience as a student. Did you attend Lutheran schools as a student?
I did, yes. I had the joy and pleasure of going from preschool all the way up through my college experience was all through Lutheran education and lots of wonderful Lutheran teachers that were able to shape and mold me into the person I am today. So some of those teachers being my parents. So I actually had my parents as teachers back in the day. My mom was an aide for my fourth grade classroom. And then my dad taught a couple of my middle school math classes. So they survived it and so did I. But no, it was a good experience. So, and I guess you could say Lutheran education is in my blood, because my grandma also was a Lutheran educator for many years, and she also taught third grade. So I'm her favorite third grade teacher now.
What were some of the moments along the way when you realized that maybe Lutheran education, Lutheran teaching was something that you wanted to do? Was this something that you had kind of always thought about, or were there some moments that made you realize that maybe this is what you wanted to do too?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I kind of got to have a behind-the-scenes look of Lutheran education with my dad being a principal and my mom being a teacher. Many a summer spent working in her classroom, sometimes doing things for other teachers more willingly than for her, as she likes to remind us, you know, die-cutting bulletin board things, sorting out math lessons, all that kind of good stuff. So I knew I always wanted to do something with children. I've always loved working with kids, and just getting to spend time with them is so much fun. And so I always knew that's something that I wanted to do. I didn't initially think it was going to be teaching, because I knew how hard my parents worked and they loved what they did. But selfishly, as a middle schooler, I wanted to, you know, maybe have a career that involved more financial benefits. And so I remember going with a family friend to a physical therapy appointment. And she worked specifically with children. And I thought, oh, that sounds really cool. I can spend my day working with kids and have fun with them. And so middle school me was wanting to be a physical therapist. You know, moving forward into high school, attending my Lutheran high school, I remember going to some college fairs and visiting some different Concordias. And along the way, someone convinced me that I could do both physical therapy and education, which I'm not sure looking back how long that would have actually taken in undergrad. I think I would have been, you know, a forever student at that point. But, you know, that sounded maybe kind of cool. And then the more I thought about why I wanted to be a physical therapist versus, you know, going into teaching, money is money. And God always finds a way to provide for you. So probably like junior and senior year, I really started looking at going to Concordias and becoming an elementary teacher. So that's what God had in store for me. And that's what I've been doing now for the last 15 years. So
15 years, and all 15 years have been at First Lutheran, right?
Yes. Yes. Again, something I was not expecting, because my parents, being in Lutheran education, moved around a little bit. They lived in Florida for a while, various parts of Illinois. And so I kind of just assumed, based on that experience and knowing other Lutheran teachers, that I would, you know, stay in Knoxville for a couple of years and God would use me there and then he'd take me off somewhere else. And I've really grown to love it here, not just being close to the Smoky Mountains, although that is really wonderful, but getting to be a part of my congregation and my staff. I've just made a lot of really great friends that are like family here. And I really love getting to be a part of that here at First.
Well, let's talk about life as a Lutheran teacher at First Lutheran School and the aspects of it that bring you joy. Let's talk about the people you work with. You mentioned those, the team that you work with. Tell me about the joy that you find in the team that you work with at First Lutheran School.
Yeah, well, first of all, I have, not to brag, but I can because she's not on here. My principal is probably one of the best people that I've had the pleasure of working with. She just has such a heart for our children and our ministry at First. She works tirelessly, you know, whether it's writing grants for us to get new things or taking time to spend with our two-year-olds, you know, out in the hallway and sit down on the ground and play with them after the school day is done. So just, I really appreciate all of her hard work and effort, and I love getting to teach with her. I have a faculty full of wonderful people who just really have a heart for God's children. You know, they could teach anywhere, but they choose to teach at First and be a part of our family. We always joke that we're kind of like the mafia, because once you're in First Lutheran, you never quite leave us. So there's a lot of people, my principal included, who were graduates from First as kids. So we always like to kind of jokingly say that. But lots of wonderful people who just really have a heart for what they do. And they have a lot of joy in it, too. A lot of, you know, sidetracked faculty meetings where people get really off topic, and we call it squirrel moments. And then my principal has to bring us back around. So it's good.
What does life look like for you as a teacher there? What are some of the things that you get to do at First that maybe you wouldn't be able to get to do in other places and other vocations?
Yeah. So depending on the year, I've worn many different hats. So right now I am third grade teacher, although this coming school year, because of the way our enrollment is going to be, I'm going to be a third and fourth grade teacher next year. So I get to have all my kiddos again that I had last year, which I'm excited about. And so depending on the year, like last year, I was athletic director because we needed that. So getting to go to different meetings and getting to interact with the other local private Christian schools we have here in town was really neat to form friendships with those people and kind of see how they do things at their schools. I've done the yearbook for multiple years. The last couple years, I got a break from that. So getting to the yearbook over the years was a lot of fun because I like taking pictures, and it's been neat to see. I did it probably for about 8 years. And so going through photos and seeing, you know, kids that were in our preschool. Just this May, you know, we had our graduation, and so I was going through old photos to try to do a picture collage for the graduation night and seeing several of the kiddos that, you know, preschool on through eighth grade. And I would look at photos and be like, oh, I remember them as a three-year-old. I remember them as, you know, a cute little kindergartner. And, you know, now we're sending them off into high school with a firm faith and a good foundation. So that's really neat. I also get to coach volleyball, so that's a lot of fun, getting to interact with my students. As I said, I do third grade. So at our school, we start sports probably like most other Lutheran schools do in fifth grade. So I get to see my kiddos afterwards and get to interact with them in that way, which is a lot of fun. In the last 2 years, we've done a drama club again, which has been a lot of fun as well. So getting to see the middle school's gifts and talents in music and theatrics, and we have a bunch of hams, so all the productions are a lot of fun. This year we just did Aladdin, and last year we did The Wizard of Oz. So yeah, all kinds of different fun things, and I get to do things with our church. So a lot of times I'll help. We'll do Wednesday night meals with Advent and Lent, and so I'll help with those. So just a lot of different things. I like getting to interact with the people at my church and school, getting to spend time with them. It's important.
What are the things in the everyday classroom that you find joy in?
I think some of the like unexpected, well, first of all, some of the things kids mispronounce. I just always think it's so funny when at third and fourth grade, you know, they think they've got it and they'll try to use some big vocabulary, and I don't want to crush them, so I'll just go with it. But those unexpected moments are a lot of fun. I love the one-on-one conversations. Typically, if a kid is needing a little extra TLC, they might come and chat with me at recess for a little bit instead of playing, and just getting to spend that individual time with them. We have pretty small classes as it is, so it's nice to get to really know the kids that are in my class. And I think one of the biggest joys is getting to teach religion in the mornings, because I'm sure, like other Lutheran educators, there's a wide range of children in my class. there are the kids that I see at church every Sunday, and then there's kids who probably have never maybe stepped foot inside a church minus ours for morning devotions and chapel. So getting to see their faith bloom and grow is a lot of fun. Getting to, you know, be firsthand and getting to help mold that and help encourage it to grow is really wonderful.
We're talking with Erin Rogers. She's a teacher at First Lutheran Church and School in Knoxville, Tennessee, as part of the Set Apart to Serve series. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Erin Rogers. She's a teacher at First Lutheran Church and School in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we are in the Set Apart to Serve series, talking about the joy of being a Lutheran teacher. Erin, you mentioned that being a part of your church and school, being a part of the congregation, you get to be immersed in congregational life as well. What are some of the joys that your congregation and school do, the joys from being a part of a congregation that has a school ministry?
That's a great question. So I think the biggest thing is that our school is our church's main and biggest outreach. It's our biggest mission field. So we don't have to walk far to reach those children who are in our building, you know, Monday through Friday. Some of them get there at 7 a.m. and don't leave till 5:30. So we can make a big impact week to week, day in and day out. And it's wonderful that we have a church that supports that ministry and understands the importance of it. You know, we just had a voters meeting the other Sunday to do budgets, and that stuff is never fun, but important side of the ministry, and for them to continue to support what we do, not only with their prayers, but financially, just makes a huge difference. And I think so many of them understand that what we're doing has an eternal impact on the kiddos that we're getting to spend our days with.
What are some of the ways that the congregation supports the school, interacts with the school, and supports you as a teacher as well in the school?
So the biggest thing we do as a joint effort that is also some community outreach is we do an event called German Fest. And I believe this will be our 10th year because we took a year off with COVID. But it's a joint festival that we do at our church and school. And it's also our biggest fundraiser for our ministry. But we have the children from the school learn some German songs, and we teach them how to polka and have them perform. And we have polka bands, and the school families volunteer and do games for the kids. And the church families help with the food that we make, all the different German food. And we have beer and all kinds of things, very German. But it's a wonderful opportunity for fellowship as well, because, you know, you spend your whole day there working and doing things, and it ends up being a lot of fun, and you really get to know the people that come and volunteer. So that's the biggest one.
That sounds like a great opportunity to connect families and to engage with families as well. And it sounds like it reaches across generations. Are there other ways that your school and congregation reach across generations and really have an opportunity to share the love and joy and peace of Jesus across generations?
Yeah. So one of the things we started doing this last school year, so our different school choirs sing once a month. So we kind of rotate which age group sings which month. And what we started doing is after church, instead of having Bible class, we would do fellowship Sundays where church members would bring in food and we would have a potluck and people would be able just to socialize and get to chat and talk to people. So church people could get to know school families better and vice versa. Something else prior to COVID we used to do on a regular basis was we used to have something called 55 Alive, which was some of our older church members would meet once a month. And we would have school kids come in and sing and talk to them and, you know, share a little bit about what they were learning in the classroom or why they liked attending our school. And one of our former pastors, one of our retired pastors, his wife would come in and read to my class pretty regularly, which always brought a lot of joy to her and my students both.
You mentioned that teaching religion and helping kids grow in their faith is one of the highlights of your day. What are some ways that you are able to form kids into thinking about church work in a way that maybe your teachers did for you when you were a kid too?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think first off, it's me trying to be the best teacher I can be, trying to show God's love and grace to them every day, even when there might be days where I'm tired or I don't have trouble doing that because I'm human. But I think that's the first place I start, is trying to be the best possible teacher to love and care for them. And then, you know, seeing the kids that have that desire and that willingness. One of the things we do that I really love is we have a buddy program. And so we pair up our older students with our younger students. And in past, we've just done like, we'll sit together at chapel times together. And, you know, the older children will kind of help the younger ones pay attention and follow along in the hymnal. But in this last year, we were more intentional about weekly get-togethers. And so my class, it's their first year to get to be the big buddies, which is like a big deal. And they're so excited as 8 and 9 year olds to get to be the older buddy and be, you know, the mature ones. And so seeing the kids that do a great job with our preschool friends, seeing that joy that they have being the older buddy, there are times where, you know, I'll talk to them and say, hey, you know, you would make a really great teacher. Have you ever thought about doing something with children? You know, the boys that have a heart for the ministry and the gospel of, you know, one day, you know, if that's something God wants you to do, you could become a pastor, you know, you could be a DCE, things like that. So just trying to encourage them and the gifts that they have. We talk a lot about the things that they love to do now might be things that as they get older, they continue loving doing. And the gifts that God has given them now and they see now in themselves might be things that God will use in the future. And that in the same hand, there might be gifts and talents that they don't even know they have yet that God has richly blessed them with, that moving forward, they'll be able to see those and use those gifts.
Let's talk about your relationship to parents, yeah. The parent-teacher relationship. Where is there joy in that, in working with parents and partnering with parents, really, to teach their children and raise up their children in the true faith?
Oh, that's a great question. I've been fortunate and blessed to be able to have so many wonderful parents and families that I've worked with over the years. And one of the biggest things, I think, is being present. And if a parent knows that I truly love and care for their child, they're going to, you know, to trust me throughout the school year as I send emails or have face-to-face conversations. I'm a little old school, so I would much rather, you know, have a 5-second conversation with you in car line than, you know, send an email or talk to you for a couple minutes at a home basketball game about something, whether it's a cute anecdote about you'll never guess what your kid said today, or, hey, did you know that they hadn't turned in their math homework the last 2 nights or something, you know, whatever it may be. But partnering with the parents, I think communication is important. I try to be really good about sending my weekly newsletter home, both digitally and in print. And then the other thing that I really love to do, and I think it goes a long way with not only the students in my class, but the parents, but I try to attend events outside of the school that matter to them. We have a little kid basketball league at our school. That's first grade through fourth grade, which is just a lot of fun to watch. But I also know that our kids have things outside of school, whether it be going to a dance recital or a piano recital, you know, going to their soccer game or basketball game, getting to spend time with them outside of school. It may take, you know, a half hour to an hour out of my night or weekend, but it goes a long way with the families to know that I love and support their kid no matter what they're doing.
Yeah, building up those relationships is so important for people to feel like you care for them, and that is so important. What have you learned over the years, because 15 years now at FIRST, what have you learned over the years about ways to remain joyful in a vocation that can realistically can be very challenging at times? How have you learned to maintain that joyful spirit as you teach little kids?
Yeah. Ooh, that is, yeah. Depending on the day, that is easier said than done. But I think first, long a time ago, I learned to not check emails after a certain time in the evening, because whether I have the bad habit of reading emails like you're mad at me, even if you're not. So that did nothing for my night of sleep if I got an email and thought someone was upset, even if they actually weren't. So I learned a long time ago that it's better to check those in the morning just in case. But I think trying to find time to reset, because to-do lists are always going to just continue on and on. And so knowing, which is something I'm still always working on, is trying to have a good, you know, work-life balance. And I can be at school forever, but having time, you know, to myself, whether that's, you know, at home reading a book or on a hike with friends, trying to take some time away where I can reset and still continue to find the joy in what I do day to day.
And summers. Where do summers play a role in a teacher's joy?
Summers, glorious summers. So usually the beginning of summer I call teacher hibernation, because I always end up sick and I just sleep. So I'm like a bear. I take some time and sleep and reset. But I really love summer, getting to finalize the year that we had, and then, you know, to get my classroom cleaned out and just restart. I feel like I always talk with my family of, I don't know how people do quote unquote normal jobs where they don't have like definite ends and beginnings, because I just really love summer, not only for the relaxation part of it, but also getting to you know, get a jump start on preparing for the upcoming year, and having that in a time frame that's not crunched is always really nice. So, and we also do have a summer camp program at my school. So I get to see my kiddos still throughout the summer, which is always nice to, you know, give hugs and high fives and see how much they've grown in the last couple weeks.
Well, looking forward to the new year with combined third and fourth grade class. I'm sure that'll be an exciting adventure doing a combined class this year. Erin, thank you so much for spending some time with us today on the Coffee Hour and sharing about the joy of being a Lutheran teacher. Thanks for being our guest.
Oh, of course. Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it. And anytime you guys are in Knoxville, just come say hi at First Lutheran. We'd love to give you a tour and can meet our wonderful kiddos.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.